Come together for this special evening. Special because of my dress, but special because of what Jesus has done. The song that we sang as we opened up today, "Were You There?" It reminds us of the question of, were we there? I had a pastor friend of mine tell me just the other day as they were preparing that it reminded him of 36 children's books that were written from 1955 to 1963 called the We Were There series. It was a series that was put together of fiction but yet historical accurate accounts of events that children were the primary characters in the story. Young readers would identify with the child in the story, and it would be as if they were there, experiencing it themselves. So when we sing, "We were there when they crucified the Lord," we could say that we were there at the cross of Calvary. I mean, it wasn't young children that were there, but it was sinners. Sinners like you, sinners like me. Criminals on their crosses. These were the primary characters of the story that we're talking about this evening. See, today is truly a day to remember. I mean, thinking that we were once captured into the rich meaning of what this word remember is. I mean, last night we talked about remembering as well, and we are talking about it again this evening. And to remember something is to be brought back to this event as if we were actually there, experiencing it as the original people did. For instance, the Passover meal that is celebrated during this time this year as well with the Jewish people, they didn't just do it as a memorial celebration. When they celebrate the Passover, they celebrate it as if they were right there, that God was delivering them, the people, from Egypt. It was as if they were right there. And this evening, we are remembering as well. See, God also remembers. We also remember something and someone. It's just like it happened right now. And that's what I want to consider for tonight, for us to look at the criminals on the cross, and as he was asking Jesus this, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." See, this is not a Memorial Day service for criminals, but a remembering in the biblical sense. Jesus is us this very evening. He is with us this very evening. He is remembering me. He's remembering each one of us tonight and promises us that we will be in paradise. See, Jesus remembers a criminal so that people like you and I can know pardon in paradise. In the verse that we just read, the two criminals are sounding quite different, though. One railed against Jesus. He was taunting the Lord in this situation that they were in. He was really there taunting Jesus Christ. The other rebuked him as well. Told him to knock it off, though, because Jesus was innocent, he said. But if you read Matthew's account of the crucifixion, it's clear that they were both giving Jesus a hard time. Matthew 27 says, "And the robbers who were crucified with him also reviled him in the same way." I mean, imagine that a lot of criminals, maybe most criminals, they tend to downplay the crimes that they actually commit. They deny them altogether. But these criminals would have had a hard time defending themselves. The word used to describe them in Luke's gospel is not a word used for petty thieves. I mean, these were really, really, really bad men. The word can be translated criminal, yes, but it actually has a deeper meaning, one that we might consider terrorist today, because they were committing the worst kind of crimes against society. And when forced to admit their crime, Such convicts may try to excuse it, explain it away, or justify themselves somehow, some way, to justify their actions. And when criminals, or as we would say, sinners, when they try to justify themselves and their actions, their excuses can be absolutely ridiculous. They ask the question, well, how could it be sinful? A common question that is asked today in many circles. See, sinners do that all the time. You and I, we do that all the time. But one of the criminals on the cross there changed his tune. He rebuked the other criminals, recognized that Jesus was innocent, and believed that Jesus really was the king. He had heard what everyone was saying about Jesus, and he had read the sign above Jesus' head, and he identified him as king, and he said, "This is true." And when people hear the things about Jesus, when they read the things about Jesus, well, it causes them to change their mind. It's what we call repentance. The criminal repented based on what he saw and what he heard. And instead of justifying himself, he asked Jesus to remember him. And Jesus did. He made a promise that nobody deserves. A promise a bad man certainly didn't deserve. And that promise is one that is great. He said, "Today, you will be with me in paradise." See, Jesus remembers a criminal so that people like you and me may know pardon in paradise. And what about us? Can we really say that we were there at Calvary Cross? Because people just like us, those criminals, they were there, right? Do you really compare to criminals? Are you so bad that that special word doesn't describe you? I mean, we're all sinners, but no worse than anyone else, right? Probably better than most, you and I might say. And as soon as we would say that, we would be trying to excuse our behavior and justify ourselves. Are we right with God because our sin isn't quite as bad as others? Are we good because someone else is worse? Not according to the Bible. See, in James chapter 2, we read this: "For whoever keeps the law but fails in one point has become guilty of it all." And St. Paul, he knew this well. He could both confess Christ and confess his own sins. In 1 Timothy chapter 1, he says this: "The saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the foremost," Paul said. Well, move over, Paul, because I am the foremost sinner. Move over, Paul, because we are all the foremost sinners. We are there too. You might not have the foremost sinner position locked up yet, Paul. Anyone who says that he is just a little sinner has it wrong. See, we're each the foremost. You and I are the criminals next to Jesus on that cross. See, First John chapter 8 says this: "If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. Even worse, if we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us." See, God's word brings us to repentance. Jesus, just as it did for the criminal on the cross next to Jesus that evening. And while both criminals started out railing against Jesus, one of them changed his tune. What brings about repentance and change in someone? It is God's word and hearing that word. See, Jesus himself is the substitute for us, for all sinners. Even worse, so that they could have and live in paradise, Jesus died on that cross so that criminal could say, "Yes, I will be in paradise with Jesus today." See, also Jesus gives us the power of his word to bring the worst sinners to repentance, to change their minds regarding sin, and to change their minds regarding the forgiveness of sins. Consider other famous criminals who heard Jesus and repented. There was change because they heard God's word. That other criminal is Paul himself. He was trying to destroy the church and even assisted in stoning Stephen himself. No wonder Paul considered himself to be the foremost sinner. But like the criminal next to Jesus, who was changed through repentance and faith, Paul also knew pardon and the promise of paradise. And he wrote this in 2 Corinthians, as he says, "And I know that this man was caught up into paradise." He mentioned paradise only this one time in all the things that he wrote. But he wrote over and over about the many words of God's pardon, so that other sinners, other criminals, could read, repent, and be pardoned as well. See, Jesus remembers a criminal so that you and I, people like us, could know pardon and paradise. What changed our minds? What gets us to stop defending our actions, downplaying our sin, or justifying ourselves? Well, hopefully it's moving us to remember Jesus and what he has done for us. Hopefully it's the word of Jesus that we hear in the service this evening. Maybe when Paul wrote in Corinthians, telling their sins and how far they were from God, those hard words caused in them grief. But Paul didn't apologize for that, because he said this, that good grief produces a repentance that leads to salvation. See, hearing God's word leads us to godly, good grief. That also produces repentance in us. And following that is forgiveness. See, Christ took our place under the law. The word is written as though we were there at Calvary, because we should have been there. Jesus took the place that you and I deserve. Now God still puts us in Jesus' place. Jesus said, "If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also." See, God's word is so powerful that it brings repentance, it brings us to forgiveness, and it brings us pardon, to open the door to paradise for you and for me because of what Jesus does on this evening. Jesus remembers a criminal, so that people like you and I may know pardon in paradise. See, from now on, the grace and power of God working through his word enables us to look at other people in the world for whom Christ also died. It's like looking over and seeing fellow criminals, someone who has been crucified, yes, someone else who has been crucified for, but they are also crucified with Christ. They are ones for whom Christ died, and we are called to reach out to them with the saving word of Christ. See, this evening we know that what we see Jesus on the cross is him taking the place that you and I deserve, because you and I are criminals. We are sinners. And it is because of Jesus taking that place for you and I that we can also hear the words from Jesus this evening. "Today you will be with me in paradise," knowing that he has forgiven everything for us. He has given everything for us, and we will be with him for all eternity because of what he has done for us. And so although this evening may look dark, maybe this evening doesn't seem like Good Friday, but it is a Good Friday because of what Jesus accomplishes for you and I. And even though we feel the sorrow this evening, we also know that Sunday is coming.
It's Friday. Jesus is praying. Peter's asleep. Judas is betraying. But Sunday's coming. It's Friday. Pilate's struggling. The council is conspiring. The crowd is vilifying. They don't even know that Sunday's coming. It's Friday. The disciples are running like sheep without a shepherd. Mary's crying. Peter is denying. But they don't know that Sunday's a coming. It's Friday. The Romans beat my Jesus. They robe him in scar. They crown him with thorns. But they don't know that Sunday's coming. It's Friday. See Jesus walking to Calvary. His blood dripping. His body stumbling. And his spirit's burdened. But you see, it's only Friday. Sunday's coming. It's Friday. The world's winning. People are sinning. And evil's grinning. It's Friday. The soldiers nailed my Savior's hands to the cross. They nailed my Savior's feet to the cross. And then they raised him up next to criminals. It's Friday. But let me tell you something. Sunday's coming. It's Friday. The disciples are questioning what has happened to their king. And the Pharisees are celebrating that their scheming has been achieved. But they don't know it's only Friday. Sunday's coming. It's Friday. He's hanging on the cross, feeling forsaken by his Father, left alone and dying. Can nobody save him? Oh, it's Friday, but Sunday's coming. It's Friday, the earth trembles, the sky grows dark, my King yields his spirit. It's Friday, hope is lost, death has won, sin has conquered, and Satan's just a laughing. It's Friday. Jesus is buried. A soldier stands guard, and a rock is rolled into place. But it's Friday. It is only Friday. Sunday is a coming.
Well, I invite you to join me as we share together a prayer of reflection. Jesus, by your wounded feet, Jesus, by your nailed hands, move our desires. Jesus, by your pierced side, cleanse our desires. Jesus, by your crown of thorns, annihilate our pride. Jesus, by your silence, shame our complaints. Jesus, by your parched lips, curb our cruel speech. Jesus, by your closing eyes, look on our sin no more. Jesus, by your broken heart, not ours to yours. Well, we continue at this time with the seven words of Jesus from the cross. The first word,